Radio St. Pete, I want to welcome author John Miles, an amazing speaker, show host, founder, CEO, and thank you for your service, John, a Navy veteran. He's a leading authority on intentional behavior change, personal growth, and mattering, and he's a beacon of inspiration and transformation. Welcome, John. Tell us about Passion Struck and what you are doing these days.
Well, Nana, thank you so much for having me. I am blown away by what Radio St. Pete is doing and how it's helping the community and putting more focus on such important topics and issues. So just a true honor to be here. I have been involved with Passion Struck now for about 4 years, and that is when the Passion Struck journey began, but my journey to creating Passion Struck actually started about 9 years ago. I had come out of a long career, 2 decades long, first in the military, then in the civilian sector. Most recently to that, here in the Tampa Bay area, I had been a senior executive at Catalina Marketing. And after that, I became the CEO of a company called Genius Central. And I had felt this inner calling for a long time that I was kind of destined to go on a different path that was really about exploiting my uniquenesses and solving a problem that I think many people are facing today. And that problem, to me, is this whole topic of people waking up in the morning and maybe not feeling significant about their life and who they are and don't feel a sense of mattering. So Passion Struck is really about how do you help people create the best version of themselves and to feel like they hold a place of significance.
And you have, I see, 4 pillars of the Passion Struck model. Can you give us the USA Today version of that, starting with the mind shifts?
Yeah, so this is really how my book is organized. But this model was something that I envisioned after I had studied about 750 different luminaries. These are people, everything from well-known people you know, like Oprah Winfrey, to the CEO of Salesforce, Mark Benioff, to Derek Jeter, to lesser-known people I cover and studied. And what I found is that these people who end up creating this future self of them that radiates becoming their ideal self followed a set of different shifts on their path to becoming it. So the first of those are mindset shifts, and I found 6 of them that people take. And you can think of your mindset is who you are. It's the purpose that you emulate, and it dictates how you end up behaving. And then the next section is really behavior shifts, which really culminates into what actions we take and how we perform them. And there's 6 of those behavior shifts. And then the other 2 areas are deliberate action, which is really the intentional action of putting those mindset and behavior shifts into practice. And it's all fueled by intrinsic motivation, which kind of brings the whole thing together and fuels a continuous cycle of improvement.
Well, Live Life Better is really a focus of Radio St. Pete, and we're very excited that you'll be sharing some of your incredible interviews with us. Tell us a little bit about the podcast that you've been doing with these people that you've been discussing and some of the things, some of the jewels and gems you've gleaned from them.
Yeah, so I've been doing the podcast now for just over 3 years, and I think when you go into something like this, you never know what the destiny is going to hold at the onset, but I spent a ton of time preparing myself before I really started the podcast. And it's something that if someone is interested in doing a podcast, I would suggest that they do as well. I must have listened to 300-400 different episodes, probably 100 different shows, trying to understand why do some podcasts break out, why do some not. And I really found that you had to be mission-focused, and there had to be a lens that differentiated you. And so I went on this path, and I think like many people, first 4 or 5 months, I expected this huge audience to show up, and it just wasn't the case. And I've struggled, like anyone, to find listeners and for people to discover the podcast. And then I really discovered that in some ways I was doing a couple of things erroneously. The biggest one was I was trying to emulate these other great guests that I saw. And I came to the conclusion that people don't go to Andrew Huberman to hear Jay Shetty on his show, although that might give him a bump. They're going because they love Andrew Huberman and how he does the show. The same thing with Mel Robbins or Jordan Peterson or who, what have you. And so I really came to this realization that love it or hate it, people are going to come to the show because of me and how I do the show and how I interview people. So I really leaned into that, and I really leaned into the lens that in order to create a passion-struck life, it all begins and ends with being intentional about how you approach each day. And so that's how I started to do the interviews, and I think from that point forward, I really decided on a cadence where every week I would try to showcase an everyday hero, someone that many people might not know but can resonate with their story, and then I'd try to also bring on someone who's a little bit more renowned, whether that be an author, an academic, a professional athlete, what have you. And so that's been the formula that I've used, and I look back and I just can't believe the quality of the guests that we've had now. I mean, just in this past month, we've had Charles Duhigg, Jamie Kern Lima, Angela Duckworth, and many, many others. So it has just built upon itself to where it is now.
Where can people hear your podcast? And we're looking forward to having some of those on Radio St. Pete share with our listeners.
So it is available anywhere that you would listen to podcasts. I think most people probably listen to them at Apple. So that would be a great starting point. If you want to go to the show notes, you can find them at passionstruck.com/passionstruckpodcast.
Tell us a couple of your favorite famous interviews and things you learned from them.
So I always give credit to Susan Cain because she was the first person who took a chance on the podcast when it was still relatively small. And that was one of my favorites because her book, Quiet, which is all about the power of introverts, was significant in my own life because I, too, am an introvert and had spent much of my life up until that point thinking I was an enigma and, in many cases, as a senior executive in companies, trying to be an extrovert because that's really what gets rewarded. And so I often wondered why I would get home at night and feel so exhausted. So her book was really inspirational to me, but her coming on the podcast and talking about her latest book, Bittersweet, was really profound because I think we all go through these moments of hardship and trauma and close friends and relatives dying, and really understanding that this whole process of bittersweet was a natural process of life to me was really a significant book and interview for me to do. I think another one that I found to be really profound was my most recent episode that I did with Dr. Mark Hyman. I've done a couple of them with him. But this most recent one, we kind of delved into the future of medicine and where it's going. And a lot of this really got into the power of personalized medicine and that this is going to be really this next evolution of medicine. And it's kind of being led by people in the field of functional medicine. And the way that I like to describe this is typical Western medicine kind of treats us as if we're the leaves or branches on a tree in a bunch of different protocols and compartments, whereas this precision medicine and functional medicine really looks at us through the lens of being the whole tree and trying to figure out what are the underlying symptoms or causes that are showing up as symptoms that we get diagnosed with.
And Dr. Hyman was, of course, one of the first to identify the mind-body-gut relationship, and with mental health being such an issue. Your book, when I read the book, I took it out from the library, and I plan on buying a copy. I'm sure all of you will find it in your local bookstores here or on Amazon. When I read it, I was thinking, there's so many messages in there for our young people. How do you translate these big ideas simply for our teenagers and college students who identify mental health and wellness as an issue facing them today?
Well, thank you, Nanette. That was a really important aspect of the book because people often ask me, what would you tell your 20-year-old self? And now I would say, read the book that I wrote, because I actually dedicate the book to my son and my daughter. When I first started writing this, they were 17 and 22. They're now 20 and 25. But I was really looking at this next generation, and they're going to face things that my generation never even contemplated. The pace of change as we're getting into this autonomous future that they're walking into is like a freight train coming at you, staring down tremendous change. And so one thing I know is certain is that as I've interviewed all of these amazing guests, one thing that those who are truly the vanguards do is they constantly reinvent themselves. And I think that is going to become even more paramount to this next generation, is that they're going to have to constantly stay on top of the changes that are happening and do things to reinvent who they are to keep pace and get ahead of it. So this book, although it serves many different audiences, because I think there's no time in life where it's too late to become passion struck, a core audience that I wanted to influence are those who are in high school right now and young adults, because I'm trying to give you the path in the book to how to build a life and craft it in the way that you want your future self to be the best it can possibly be.
Well, I think that David Brooks would say you're a true illuminator, and I look forward to having you here on Radio St. Pete. I want to go back a little bit to some of the good things you've done in our community, and I know that you were involved with that Warehouse Arts District. Tell us a little bit about your community involvement here, because it's been significant.
So first off, I have to give a huge shout out to Rob Capusta and Mark Ayling, who are the two people who really started that whole Warehouse Arts District, and maybe even before them, Duncan, who was the first artist to really situate, and I call him the founding father of the whole Warehouse Arts District. But I became the CEO of a company called Genius Central. When I first joined them, we were located in Sarasota, but we were looking for a place to move it to, and I thought that the Warehouse Arts District was a perfect place because I really consider artists to be geniuses, and it went with the theme of the company. And I loved having our main headquarters, which is now Urban Stillhouse, be an old warehouse, because I think it just gave vibrance to the company. And I just decided if we were going to have a company there, then I needed to be directly involved with the local community. And so I ended up approaching Mark and Rob and Tracy and others who were at the core of it at that time, and volunteered to be a board member. Little did I know that this was going to amount to me becoming the fundraising chair.
You have mad skills, John.
I really think Rob Capusta deserves most of the credit for a lot of the money that's come in, but I tried to lay a new strategic framework on how we should approach funding, and that one of the main purposes is creating these rent-resistant spaces for artists to thrive. But I think more importantly, the association has a larger aspect where it can influence the less privileged in our community, bring more children's programming to bear, and also help veterans. And so I'm really glad to see that Marcus and the board that's there now have really taken that upon themselves as a core mission. So it's great to see the dance academy that's there now, that they're also doing culinary arts, and that it's expanding to be what we had always imagined it could be.
And I want to thank you for bringing up the culinary arts, because the Foodie Lab, and they'll be here with us today, is going to be the site for our Spring Fling fundraiser on March 8th from noon to 5. And listen, you, I hope to have you back on air that day, and from noon to 5 at the Foodie Labs at Warehouse X Exchange, and then on the 7th at Hawthorne Bottle Shop. John, anything you'd like to share with our listeners as a kind of a mantra for the day?
Yeah, I just wrote a new article because and it's going to come out as a podcast, but I heard a well-known influencer talking about the need to have courage before taking action, and I started to think about it, and I'm just like, sometimes people just get the whole equation inversed. To me, and it's something I talk about in the book, is courage or confidence comes with taking action. And the more we're willing to take small boundary magnifying steps to become who we desire to be in the future, it gives us the confidence to have the courage to take more boundary magnifying steps. And so that's what I would leave people with, is that we often think and overcomplicate our lives, thinking that if we want to change them, we have to do these huge, colossal changes in our life, and it's just not the case. Any change starts with something small, and that's what I really advocate people to do, is pick an area to work on. Just start making small changes in your life. For instance, if you're afraid of public speaking, maybe go over to Greenlight Cinema and take one of their amazing improv classes and expand your horizons of comfort. And that's where it all starts. And before long, it will penetrate so many other areas of your life. Your life, you will look back months in the past and you will see a completely different version of yourself and the gains that you've made.
You know, Live Life Better on Radio St. Pete is lucky to have John Miles today, author of Passion Struck. Thank you, John, for such an insightful and provocative discussion today.